Ashley in Florida, first up here today at 844-527-8723. Here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Hello, Ashley. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
I know. It has been a while. I've been meaning to call you.
Well,
so two questions for you. I'm going to go off topic, so sorry. Do you know yet when the Hogs for the Cause is next year?
March the 28th.
Ooh, okay. My husband and I don't know if you know yet, WrestleMania is going to be in New Orleans next year, and so we were hoping to kind of kill two birds with one stone and kind of come do that and do Hogs for the Cause. But this next year, I think it's going to be, like, not the first weekend in April, but the second weekend, so we may not be able to have the timing work out for us. But we really wanted to see you and attend that, charity event.
I think it's the last, it's always the last Saturday in, or the last Friday in March, whatever day that is.
Because I think the reason why WrestleMania is like the second weekend is because next year, I think Easter is that weekend.
Yeah, we got these silly moon cycles going. It changes all sorts of things.
So I don't know if that was going to affect that or not.
I don't know, but I do know I saw the date, and it is the, you know what, even if you don't see us for Hogs, we're here at Studio D, so it's not like we're not available.
How close are you then to New Orleans?
40 minutes.
40 minutes. Okay,
40 minutes.
I think that's doable.
That's doable. It is doable.
Dinner.
Sounds good.
Okay, second question then. So to kick off your Wisdom Wednesday, I've been recently reading Humility of Heart, which I love, by the way. Thank you so much for, putting that into print.
You're welcome.
And if you remember when I've called before that I've, how I've described myself is that, I'm a former atheist, now agnostic, but you're definitely steering me in the direction of, Catholicism. And so, it's one of the reasons why I got the book. So my question is about pride. That's where the section kind of I'm in about halfway through the book.
Sure.
And it's talking about, as pride is like the biggest sin because it's the root of all the other sins. And so I guess my question is, trying to wonder, I'm somebody who like takes like pride in my work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the type of thing that, and I imagine you take pride in all of the work that, the great work that you do, how do you balance out being humble versus, having that, pride in the work that you do?
Whew. Anybody else out there want to tackle this one? I don't know if I'm qualified. It's below, that's above my pay grade. Well, I think that I'll take a stab at it since you asked.
Okay.
I think that there's a nominal distinction here. Maybe if Mitter Simpson is listening, we can talk about this if he calls today during Wisdom Wednesday. But there's a nominal distinction. You say you take pride in your work. What if you were to what if you were to change the word pride into joy?
Okay.
What if you took joy in your work? If you took joy in your work, that would mean that you enjoyed what you do, you love what you do, and because you love what you do, you're going to do it to the best of your ability. And in doing it to the best of your ability, you're going to fashion a product or a service that is the best that you are capable of, and you're very pleased with the product, and you're also very pleased with the joy that went into making it, and then the joy that someone using it or taking advantage of it might experience. So it's a difference in a vocational point of view, I think. Rather than saying pride, which is just like, well, I'm proud I made this. It's the best thing ever. If you don't like it, you can go to Hades. I took joy, great joy in making this. And I'll be even more happy to know that you bought it and you used it and it worked as advertised or you got use out of it. And in doing so, it made you happy. See, this is where the old school philosophy that children would learn, common sense philosophy, and the ages of faith for over a millennia, that they would just learn as a, and this wasn't part of their K through 12 because they didn't have this. This is just part of their upbringing, that they would be taught this from birth. Not take pride in your work or take joy in your vocation. So Maybe just if you change the terminology there, then it'll put it in the right perspective for you. How about that?
No, that works. I mean, I'm definitely somebody who, you know, I love going to work every day. I love my job. I'm a person who enjoys working more than the 40 hours, not because I'm, made to, but because I choose to. So I definitely enjoy, everything that I do and, making it the best that I possibly can. So I would agree with that. Thank you.
Well, and another point of terminology or nominalism, why do we say job? You just said job, right? And that's not a condemnation of you because everybody says it.
Yep.
So we've allowed the what used to be fulfilling the man. Man's job or work used to be husbandry, agriculture, carpentry, putting the roof over the family head, making sure the cows and the chickens and the goats and the sheep are fed, making sure the back 40 is plowed and ready for the corn, et cetera, et cetera. He would have taken pride in that. He wouldn't have looked at it as a job. That would have been his vocation as a father and a provider. And the entire family would have assisted in the endeavor. We have traded that to farm out all of those familial duties to someone else. Now someone else grows the food, raises the chickens, slaughters them, raises the hogs and kills them and sends us sausage to the supermarket shelf so we don't have to do it anymore. So we've lost a connection there, and we've got to stay busy. We have to do something, and we want to buy the chicken, so then we have to go off and do these things called jobs. When, in fact, vocations, as they were known, did two things. They provided for the family, and they also provided a service or a product for someone else. That's what a vocation did. That's not a job. My job is not, it shouldn't be a job. I should be providing a service. So in the modern age,
you provide a great service.
Well, thank you. And if you can find 10,000 people more that can take advantage of the service, I will be greatly in your debt. Heck, if you can find 100, if you can find 100, I'm like Lot. And when God said, okay, I won't kill the entire two cities if you can find me 100 just men. And Lot came back and said, wait, no, I couldn't find 100, but just give me another chance. I can find 10. God said, all right, go find 10. Lot comes back and goes, sorry, dude, couldn't find 2. But if you give me one more chance, I can find 1. And Lot couldn't find 1. So God said, dude, you need to get your kids and get out of the city because it's on, like Donkey Kong. And can we find 10? These days, I'm happy to find 1. If I get a letter from 1 new listener, which I don't think I've received since 2016, I would have found 1 new just man and would have said, hey, your service is worthwhile. That's fantastic. I'm glad I discovered it. Anyways, enough about me. Continue reading the book. What is your husband's affiliation? Yeah, what's your husband's affiliation? Is he religious?
He's Catholic. He grew up in the Catholic religion. He went through all the steps of he was a what do they call it? He was one of the boys who helped out.
Altar boy, altar server.
Yep, he was an altar boy. I myself, my mom, as I told you before, is I think I have. From Chile, so she's Catholic, but my parents are divorced, and my father, my biological father, was against the Catholic religion, and I was actually brought up as an Episcopalian.
Okay.
So I don't have too much of a religious background. I've actually never read the Bible. It just, wasn't in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So you're helping me to get to that way. I haven't started yet reading the Bible, but I'm concentrating first on some of your books, but you probably recommend that I go the other way.
Well, Humility of Heart is a great book, and if you get the digital edition, you click some of those links and continue your reading. But I'll tell you that there is a logic, I say this with all sincerity, removing all any personal desire that I might have for anyone to convert to the Roman Catholic faith. Note, I always say Roman. Because without the Pope, there is no Catholic faith. And if we don't acknowledge that, then we're all screwed anyways. So, and there is no Catholic faith, there is no religion, and it's at an end. The gates of hell has prevailed. So you always have to say Roman. And it really POs some people. They can't stand to hear it, and they get very angry if you say it. If you say it in their presence, then they're going to unload, I'll warn you, they're going to unload a litany of invective at you. But think of it like there is a beautiful, simple logic to the teaching of the church that weirdo, wacko popes can't change. Weirdo, wacko, apostate cardinals and bishops and priests and all the other heretics and apostates that are running around out there cannot alter. So don't worry about what they do and don't pay attention to what they do. If you read the catechism, I can't see how any reasoned person with goodwill, and I think all of you do, could read, for example, a very short and brief book. Send me an email and I'll tell you how to get it. So read the catechism of the Holy Roman Church by St. Robert Bellarmine. It's translated into English. He wrote it for children. Of course, writing it for children in the 16th century is like writing it for MBA, PhD graduates today. So that's how much common sense and streetwise children were. If you were to read a simple book like that, and you can read it in 2 hours, I think any reasoned individual would see the logic, the moral and historical and practical that you can put into use in your life, logic behind the Catholic faith. Not behind what the Pope is doing, not behind what you heard Cardinal this and that, or Cardinal McGillicuddy is doing, but what the church actually teaches. Don't worry about the human element. That's always going to change. There are always going to be weirdos. There's always going to be apostates and heretics and wackos. Can't worry about that. Well, what does the actual teaching say? Actually, I think if any reasoned individual takes the time to read it, most of their protestations against the faith immediately evaporate, and they go like, well, that makes sense. You're not going to read anything in a catechism that you're going to go, oh, well, that's stupid. Some idiot made that up in the 3rd century. Because it's all backed up through the Gospels, through the Old Testament, and through the Scriptures, and through the teachings that we were handed down from the incarnate wisdom himself. That's what I would encourage you to do. I mean, read Humility of Heart, but get a book like Bellarmine's Catechism. You're on the road to Rome, my dear. There's no getting off that train once you get on it.
I think that's one of the reasons why I think I potentially will, am on that road to convert, because of just, I'm somewhat of logic, and the way that you're describing it, there's kind of just no way of, disputing it. And so that's kind of, the type of person that I am. So I'm not going to worry about this Pope. I don't like this Pope. So, I'd love to talk more, but I'm actually on my way to a dental appointment.
Well,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Ashley, thank you very much. Send me an email, and I'll tell you how to get Bellarmine's book, okay?
Okay, I will do. Thanks so much, Mike.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. Thanks is all on this side of the table. You see, you just never know how a day is going to go.